Back aboard the Casablanca Moon, Anya worked under the canopy while the cool night air blew around her. She had changed into jeans and a long-sleeved blouse. The book she'd found had consumed her interest for hours. Page after page of the author's brushstrokes met her gaze. The writing was unrelenting in its clarity while still maintaining its secrets. There were several illustrations, but those tended to be just as mystifying. Finally, her back and shoulders no longer able to take the continued strain, Anya straightened up. She was surprised to see that most of the crew was below decks. A glance at her watch showed her it was after 1 a.m. She'd been working for over 5 hours straight.
You should get some sleep.
You have to stop sneaking up on me, Hakim.
It's going to be an early morning tomorrow.
I know. But when I get wired like this, it's hard to sleep. I usually pass out.
You're a beautiful woman, Anya Creed. You should take care not to get old before your time. I thought maybe if you went to sleep, Professor Rai would too.
When she turned, Anya saw that Lochata was still working on the artifacts that had captured her interest. The gold discs spread out on a velvet square in front of the woman told Anya the professor had dedicated her time to the coins that had been recovered. Lochata had pronounced them Roman, based on the numismatic studies she'd done. With all the research done into the Indo-Roman trade history, coins were a good indicator of the time frames. As if sensing the attention being paid to her, Lochata straightened and turned toward them.
Were you speaking to me?
Not to you. About you.
That can't be good. We really should get to bed, Anya.
That's what he was suggesting.
It looks like everyone else has already headed that way. Have you had any luck with that book?
I think it's a history, but I can't read it. Apparently, the person who authored the book lived on an island.
There are plenty of those in these waters. It wouldn't be that unusual.
Whoever it was, they were obsessed with the Nagas. Did you have any luck with the coins, Lochata?
I did. Based on what I remember, and on the references I had regarding Roman coins found in this area, Landanzi, I think the coins were primarily from the 4th and 5th centuries.
100-year span? Isn't that unusual?
No. Hard currency in those times tended to stay in circulation. It wasn't like the paper money that gets recycled these days. Money didn't go in and out of political favor, although new rulers were vain enough to want coins struck with their images and symbols of their power. The coins we collected today are well worn. Traders' coins that had seen a lot of ports.
Now that you have found the ship, I'm starting to worry. News about this will get back to Kanyakumari and other cities.
The Coast Guard and the Indian Navy are within hailing distance.
If we get the chance to call them. I'm just pointing out that it's something to keep in mind. You found your shipwreck. Maybe now would be the time to sit back and call in reinforcements.
No. At this point, that's unacceptable. We want to explore more of this site before we turn it over to someone else.
You wouldn't have to turn it over.
Yes, we would. Once you go to someone bigger, you have no choice but to hand it off.
All right. But we'll keep a weather eye peeled all the same.
Wake!
Goraksh blinked his eyes open and glanced at his window. It was still dark outside. The room's bright light flared.
Get up. We have no time to lose.
Certain his father wouldn't leave him alone until he did as he was ordered, Goraksh sat up on the edge of his bed. He hadn't slept well. Nightmares of the International Maritime Bureau agent pursuing him had all but left him exhausted. The woman's death, her head shattered by his father's pistol, had moved in there as well. After a moment, Goraksh peered over his hand. His father was hurriedly packing a suitcase with his clothing.
What's happened?
A most wondrous thing. It appears that Anya Creed's archaeological expedition has borne fruit.
I don't understand.
She's found a most unusual book.
Where are we going? Has the IMB agent...
He's done nothing. Look at this printout. This is about the book.
What book?
The one the woman archaeologist found on the ship. After she had found the Naga figurines, I'd hoped she would find a ship.
What ship?
The Roman trade ship, aboard which Sahadeva was sold into captivity.
Goraksh looked at the printout. It was a bad picture and barely showed the book, but Anya Creed looked stunning as she pored over it. The old tales his father had told him when he was a boy came crashing back into Goraksh's mind. Rajiv had talked about Kumari Kandam, the place where the Nagas ruled supreme and took care of their people until the jealous water gods pulled the island kingdom below the waves.
I still don't understand, Father.
Ever since you were a boy, I told you that the blood of kings flows in your veins. I told you that somewhere you had a heritage that you could claim. Now the time has come for you to claim it.
The wildly improbable stories of a group of the Kumari Kandam people making their way to the coastline of India were just tales his father had told during occasional moments of tenderness. Those people had tried to find homes among the cities already in existence, only to be rejected from place after place. Eventually, they found a land of their own somewhere up the Vaigai River and had quietly dropped out of sight of the world. When Goraksh was a child, the stories had been amazing and wondrous. They'd made him feel special, even around his father. But in the end, he'd discovered nothing about him was truly special, except for his ability in college. He'd felt certain that would take him anywhere he wanted to go. But that was over now.
Get up, get dressed. We have no time to waste. We have a future to secure.
All right.
Goraksh had never seen his father so animated. That was even more unreal than the stories of Kumari Kandam. With his duffel bag over his shoulder, Fleet paused at the slip beside the Coast Guard cutter. An armed guard in uniform pinned him with a deck-mounted spotlight. He held a hand up to block the intense barrage of light.
What? Who goes there?
I'm James Fleet. Captain Mahendra is expecting me.
Aye, sir. Let me get the officer of the watch.
The officer of the watch appeared at the railing of the ship. He was young and rangy, with dark eyes and an easy smile.
Special Agent Fleet.
I'm
Lieutenant Rohan.
Permission to come aboard, sir.
Permission granted.
Rohan gestured at his men. A gangplank was rolled down from the ship. Fleet shifted his burden across his shoulders. Although the prosthetic foot he wore had stood up under every physical challenge he'd put it through, he still had a tendency to favor it from time to time. It was a challenge climbing the incline.
Special Agent Fleet, it's a pleasure to have you aboard.
Thank you, Lieutenant.
Captain Mahendra expected you earlier.
I was with Inspector Ranga, observing our suspect's final preparations to set sail. We had to wait longer to be sure it wasn't a feint.
Aye. I've been told he was setting sail.
You've got men watching him too?
Captain Mahendra likes to keep apprised of situations he's involved with.
We've got a sat link on Rajiv's ship?
Aye. Our comm is locked in. Shall we head in?
Aye.
Captain Mahendra retired early so he could be rested for the voyage.
Smart man, your captain.
Fleet felt the ship sliding sideways through the water and gently bumping up against the pier. He'd missed that feeling. For so many years, that sensation of being suspended had been a part of his everyday life. His sea legs had come naturally. They still did. Once he stepped onto a boat or a ship, it always felt as if he'd been freed from shackles.
I'll show you the way to your berth.
Thank you, Lieutenant.
Do you know why Rajiv Shivaji is setting sail? Has the archaeology crew found something?
I've received word the archaeology team made visual confirmation on a Roman galley. I've been in touch with one of the men in Captain Shafiq's crew. I suppose that Rajiv could just as easily have a man on the inside.
I admit I have some reservations about leaving those people out there when we know Shivaji is so interested in them.
What do you think we should do?
Protect them.
India's Coast Guard and Navy are short-handed as it is. Putting a guard over a civilian ship is a waste of manpower.
Isn't that what we're doing anyway?
We're setting a trap. We don't know for certain that Rajiv will even be interested in those people.
But the odds are that he will.
Aye.
Those people could still get hurt.
Making sure they don't will make us heroes.
And if we can't prevent that?
We'll be late and properly regretful.
Then let us hope we'll be heroes.
I will.
Captain Mahendra wanted to make sure you were armed.
I am. My pistol and assault rifle are in my duffel bag.
Very well then. Here is your berth. Do you want to be topside when we set sail?
I would.
Then I'll send for you. We'll leave within the hour. Now, if you'll excuse me.
Thank you, Lieutenant.
Fleet tossed his duffel onto the bed. He began emptying his bag automatically, storing his clothes in the cubbies. He left the HK-53 assault rifle and Sig Sauer P226 pistol on the bed. As he sat on the bed, he took out his gun kit. Like his sea legs, taking care of his tools was second nature. But he couldn't help thinking how helpless those people on the archaeology ship would be when Rajiv made his move. Being late to rescue them wasn't an option.